In our gospel lesson today, we see some examples of God's intense love for us. That kind of love that doesn't write anyone off, but goes looking. A love that cannot bear to let a single soul be lost. And this is the work of the Good Shepherd, who tends God's flock and would even go so far as to lay down his own life for the sheep. And one of the major themes of Luke's gospel is this universal call to salvation, that the will of God manifested in Christ Jesus is that God wants all people to be saved. It doesn't matter, men and women, young and old, rich and poor, anyone and everyone. And just 2 weeks ago, our gospel reading had Jesus dining with the Pharisees, the establishment, and now he's eating with these tax collectors and sinners. I find it interesting that tax collector is the only sinner that's named by name here. That's just the lowest of the low, I guess. How little things have changed. Basically, Jesus is eating with these people that the Pharisees would not want to eat with. Because to eat with someone was really to invite them into your cultural sphere. It's the same thing in high school lunchroom. You invite someone into your clique when you want them to sit down and eat with you. So not only was Jesus hanging out with the dregs of society, it might look as if Jesus had turned his back on the establishment. And they must have thought, well, shouldn't he be concerned with the big picture? I mean, if he really wants to make a splash, if he really wants to change the way things are, shouldn't he be concerned with the big picture, with powerful, influential people, not with these little people who are not going to be noticed, much less forgotten? So not even his supporters could understand that he had come either for everyone or for no one. So Jesus tells them a few parables, beginning with a shepherd who had 100 sheep. As important as the big picture may be, and God cares about the big picture, the good shepherd cares for the individual. Each one is precious. And Jesus tells them that when one of them is lost, the shepherd leaves the 99 behind and goes and looks for that one lost sheep. Those are his priorities. No babysitters for the other lambs. No cutting your losses. Just this deep, diligent, desperate love that won't let a single one be lost. It is the intensity of love that creates the urgency of his search. And when the relieved shepherd finds the little lamb, he doesn't walk it back home. He picks it up and he carries it all the way back to the flock. And when they return, there is great rejoicing and, I'm sure, great relief. Has something like that ever happened to you? Have you ever had one of your pets run off before? For a moment, the thought comes across your mind that they're not coming back. And sadness and fear begin to flood into your heart. So what do? You start shouting, calling their name, screaming around like a crazy person. Figure out, I'll get in the car and I'll drive around the neighborhood shouting out, looking around. And at those moments, you feel like you would just do anything to get them back. Moms, dads, no show of hands here. Have you ever lost your children? Perhaps in Target? Or at the grocery store? Maybe you're in the department store, you're looking at something on that aisle, and you notice all of a sudden that you are alone. And there's a flash of panic, but you figure, well, your trooper is just around on the next aisle. So you go around the corner, and there's no one there. And then you begin to look down aisle after aisle, but they are nowhere to be found. And different scenarios begin to play through your mind. What if they have wandered out of the store or out of the mall? What if some stranger has taken them? What parent would not be desperate to find their son or daughter? Well, maybe some people didn't get it, so Jesus adds another parable, about a woman who had 10 gold coins, her treasure. Have you ever had some treasure, some prized possession? Maybe you're a collector of Van Goghs, perhaps, or baseball cards, or NASCAR commemorative plates, whatever it is. There's a set of 10, all neatly displayed along the wall or in some glass case, but there's a blank spot. One of them is missing. It makes no logical sense, but you really start to panic. You begin to look all over the house, opening drawers, moving furniture, going through closets, going back and looking at the places you just looked at. And this woman felt the same way when she lost one of her treasured coins. She stops all that she's doing. She doesn't rest until she's found it. And when she finds the coin, she calls all of her friends over to have a party to share in her joy. I've always thought, doesn't it sound silly? I bet this party cost a lot more than these 10 coins. But that's how you feel when you find something you've been looking for. And Jesus is telling us that's what God's love looks like. And Jesus tells us that likewise there is great rejoicing in heaven when a lost sinner is found again. There is a big party every time a sinner is carried back home. The first time I preached on this text, it was 6 years ago, on the Sunday after the attacks on America on September 11th, 2001. And like most people around the country, I was glued to the television set to see those images of tragedy and horror and destruction. But I was also seeing stories and images of the kind of desperate love and intense searching that we read about in today's gospel. I saw footage and interviews of firemen and other kinds of rescue workers digging through rubble in hope that survivors would be found. I read a story this week about how many of them are suffering from health problems because of being involved in that place and all the dust in the air and so forth. And sometimes there would be a shout and elation and the call for quiet. I think I hear someone. It was like the woman who sees a flash of that lost coin, or the shepherd who's straining his ear to catch again the baa of his sheep that's around the bend somewhere. Not counting the rescue workers who were themselves rescued from collapsing debris in the course of their efforts, only 5 people were pulled out alive from the rubble in New York. Imagine those 5 moments. We have someone here. She's alive. What elation. What joy. What a moment. It's like the angels rejoicing in heaven when a sinner is found and comes back home. For those who would seek to terrorize, the individual is not important. They have no reservation about assaulting human dignity, for they don't know the love of God. But for God, the individual is important. God cares about each individual soul, about every human life. They're all precious to Him, each by itself. For God, each individual is like one of those women's coins or the shepherd's lamb. Each one is a treasure all by itself, and when one is lost, he searches for it until it is found. Christians have often speculated, what if you were the only sinner? What if you were the only one who needed a Savior? Would Jesus still suffer and die on the cross if it was just for you? Perhaps more than any other, this is the passage that says yes. For Jesus, it would still all be worth it. He would leave the 99 or the 99 billion behind just to go take care of you. Think of the example of St. Paul that we heard earlier. Paul persecuted the church of God, and it haunted him the rest of his life. He had made it his mission to root out and destroy the Christian faith altogether and rid the world of anyone who would cling on to it. Remember, St. Stephen was the first martyr in part because of St. Paul, who was there consenting to his death. But God went looking for Paul. This was his little lamb that was lost. And Paul wrote, "For that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." God never gives up the search, and no one is beyond hope, not even someone like Paul, who had dedicated his life to putting an end to the Christian faith. Because God is love, and he wills our salvation, and he will do anything that he can to make that possible, even to the point of not sparing his own son of suffering and death. For while God hates sin, and the Bible uses the word hate deliberately, God loves sinners. They are the treasure of his heart. St. Paul was God's little lamb, his lost coin. God searched for him desperately because he loved him intensely. And that is God's message for us today. St. Paul would probably explain it this way. How do I know that God loves you? Because he loved me. You are precious to God, and God wills for you to be at home in his home, to experience the comfort of his life-giving embrace, to be washed clean of all your sins. So always repent when he seeks you out. Always be ready to let God find you and carry you home. And how many of us seek to model in ourselves the kind of love that God shows us today? How often do we model that in our own lives? There is going to be endless opportunities. So then I say, you be the one to seek out the lost, the broken, the forgotten, all those who need the love of God, all those who need to be welcomed inside God's house to share fellowship with Christ. He has not forgotten those who do not frequent his house, and with the Lord's strength, neither will we. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.